All right, well, it's good to see everyone tonight, and I'm excited that we can meet together like this. I do miss seeing everybody, and I hope that soon we can get back together and be able to worship the Lord together in His house. So I'm glad to be here tonight with you. First, let's just take our Bibles and open to the book of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. I'm going to share a thought of a word, really. It's a word in the English, but in the Greek, it comes from the same root. It's mentioned several times in the New Testament. It's also used in the Old Testament, but it's a word that I think of quite frequently. We don't use this word in the same context that we think of today, and that is the word quicken, the word quicken. I know today if I say the word quicken, most of you think about QuickBooks or financial accounting or something like that, but quicken is a word that back when they wrote at least the King James Version, era of English, it meant to be made alive, to make alive. And I began to think about that in relationship to the resurrection of our Lord. And I know that we think about our Lord quite a bit at this time of the year. And a lot of people, you know, make social media posts and speak about Easter and things. And we think about the resurrection of our Lord at this time, that He truly was made alive. And again, I know even when I was a boy or a young person, I always kind of thought, well, okay, the Lord resurrected. And it seemed kind of something to me, at least as a boy, that was ethereal maybe or kind of far off, like, well, that's what happened to the Lord. And I didn't really apply it to myself as much. But the more you grow and read and study, you begin to think about how the resurrection really impacts and influences you as a Christian today. I began to think about because the Lord lives, we also can be made alive. And it's easy to say that, but there's several verses in the scripture I want to look at tonight that kind of drive that point home, that we can know for sure that we have eternal life and that we are made alive, even currently right now while we're living in a human earthly body. We are made eternally alive because of what our Lord has done and because of the resurrection of Christ. We're going to start in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 21. We'll go back, though, to look at verse number 19 and pick up the context here. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So if there's something that the Father does not do, then the Son will not do. Verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. He will show Him greater works than these, the greater than what the Lord had just done in John chapter 5, for example, where He healed the impotent man there. He said, there's going to be works coming ahead that are going to make you marvel at the end of verse 20. For as the Father, verse 21, raiseth up the dead. Again, if the Father does it, then the Son can do it. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. So the whole entire basis of the fact that we as Christians can be quickened or made alive is because the Father quickened Christ. He made Him alive. He was resurrected from the dead. And it's very clear, especially in verse 20, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. You know, if Christ had not resurrected, then there would the Son, or if God didn't do a resurrection or raise from the dead, then Christ wouldn't have that same power and ability. He does nothing outside of the Father. And so the Father raising the Son from the dead, and beyond raising from the dead, He resurrected Him eternally, that He would never die again, of course. He only does what the Father does. And so God quickened Christ, resurrected Him from the dead, and now Christ quickens me. Christ quickens mankind. Christ quickens those who believe and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the entire basis for the fact that I today am alive is because the Lord Jesus Christ was quickened. Since the Father quickened Christ, Christ now has that power and authority to quicken me, to quicken you, to quicken those that believe in Christ. And again, it's something that we think, oh, well, okay, Christ resurrected from the dead. But if the Father had not done that, then the Son would not do that for us. And I kind of, you know, you think about the context of this passage here, and the Lord tying it into specifically things that are going to come in the future that you're going to marvel about. Things that the Father will do in quickening as He raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. And we are standing in the position and to receive the privilege tonight of being quickened in Christ. And I want us tonight to look at just three simple facts about quickening, about being made alive in the Scripture. Let's look at a few facts here. The first one, what about the need for quickening first? We're going to look at the need for quickening, the power for quickening, and then the avenue for quickening. We'll look at those three things quickly tonight. The need for quickening, and hopefully you'll be able to see and keep up with that, follow along in the Bible if you'd like to. I'm going to look at several passages, and I will try to give you some time to look those up. Now, the need for quickening is simply based on the fact that man is dead in sin. We know these familiar passages. Go to the Pauline epistles, the book of Ephesians, very, very prominent passage that we all probably at some point in our life have memorized some of these verses. Beginning of verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, again, the word quickened is used in verse 1, but it's in italics. It's not really in the original. The King James translators added it in based in the context, and it does make sense to think of that's the context, especially when we get down to verse number 5. Verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. The grace of God through Christ, taking us in our position of sin. The fact that things cannot be made alive, first of all, unless they're dead. I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We won't look at that verse, but Paul says, you know, if you're going to sow something, that seed has to fall into the ground and die. The Lord himself talked about that when he was here on earth, when he was speaking to the Galileans. So sin, first of all, we're dead. We need a quickening because of what sin has done to us. Sin has brought a death upon the human race. An inability for us to save ourselves. An inability for us to satisfy the Father. An inability for us to do something to justify ourselves. And as we read in these verses in Ephesians, not only are we dead in sins and have a life of sin, we're even controlled by Satan. We walk in time past, at least in our when we're dead in sins, we're walking according to what Satan wants us to do. According to his power, according to his will and his desires. Boy, that's a life of death. It goes on in verse number 3, even not just our life, not just what Satan is domineering in our life, but also our own mind is perverted. We aren't even capable of thinking the right pure thoughts after the Lord. We need a quickening because we are in sin. We're a fallen race. Go to Colossians while we're right there. Just a book or two over in the epistles. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Paul writes something very, very similar. Not only are we dead in sin, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, but in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 13. Let's read this verse or just listen. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, in Ephesians, the emphasis was, in that context, we're in sin, we're dead in it, and we need to be made alive. There's a slightly different nuance to that context here now in Colossians chapter 2. We're dead in our works. In this particular context, these Colossians were trying to fulfill these rituals. They were trying to do things in religion to make themselves alive on their own. And Paul is saying it's not only your sin, but it's also your works that are dead. And we need to be made alive in Christ so that the things we do are in Christ and are righteous as well. Because notice in verse 14, he goes on, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. He took those works. He took those rituals. And it says, nailed it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Well, that ties in the triumph of the resurrection, doesn't it? That the Lord, not only is it that we're dead in sin, Ephesians, but we're also dead in works. And perhaps there are many, even in our own world today, that maybe they're willing to admit, yes, I'm a sinner or things like that, but they're not willing to admit that their works are also dead. Maybe they're in a religion and they're working so hard to satisfy something, somebody, some person, some being maybe in their mind. They're working very hard to satisfy and to work. And the Lord says, I've nailed that to the cross. You're dead in works. You need to be made alive out of your works. Many times, even in our religious circles or our Christian circles, we tend to put an emphasis on that. And we work so hard to work, if that makes sense. We work really hard to make things the way we like them, or to make somebody think I'm spiritual, or to make someone think that I'm right with God. And it's works, because there's only one thing that can make me alive in Christ, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I can try all I want to have this life of spirituality and religion. Oh, I can say all the right things. I can talk about religion. And then in my personal life, perhaps, or deep down in my heart, there are things that are not right with God. That means my works are just simply dead. And Paul is telling these believers, we must be made alive, verse 13, that Christ has quickened us, even out of all these works of circumcision and uncircumcision and all these. You could go back in chapter 2 and read all these other things that Paul talks about. For sake of time, we won't. He goes on into verse 16 about, you know, meat and drink and holy days and all these things, which are good things to do, perhaps. But he's saying there, that's not what makes you alive. Being in Christ, why do we need to be made alive? Because we're dead in sin, and because our works are meaningless outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on and look at a second aspect here. What about the power for quickening? How is it that the Lord is able to make us alive? Now, we saw that what the Father does, Christ does, but how was Christ made alive? Let's look at some verses on this. And it was the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God. We obviously don't possess the power to give ourselves eternal life. An eternal being can grant eternal life. And God is the eternal being, the eternal of all eternal. There's none other that even is in the same realm. He is the only eternal. Well, let's look at some verses here I thought were very interesting. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Slip back a few pages if you'd like to in your Bible. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now, what Spirit is that? You go back to verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit, notice it's capitalized, is life because of righteousness. Go back to verse number 9. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. It's that Spirit now in verse 11 that raised up Jesus from the dead. If that Spirit dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, there's our word, quicken, make alive your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Spirit that raised up Jesus will also, and also raises us. If the Spirit didn't raise Christ, then how would we be raised? Our future life is contingent on the fact of the resurrection, that the Spirit of God raised up Jesus. You know, our mortal bodies, as it says here, are made alive or eternal like Christ's body, His glorified body. And we long for that day. That day where our decrepitness, if you want to call it that, goes by the wayside. I know I don't want to take this body anywhere with me. I'm glad this thing is going on to dust, as the Bible says. And we're going to be given a new body in Christ. We don't have to worry about our health problems and the issues that we have and the cancers that strike this world and the viruses or other types of diseases. We're going to have a new body in Christ because that is what the Spirit of God did for our Lord. If the Spirit raised up Jesus, and that Spirit dwells in you, verse 11, He will also quicken us. Well, I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that we have the Holy Spirit of God that can quicken us. Let's look at that other verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the other verse there on your screen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. But notice the end. There's our word, but quickened, made alive. How? By the Spirit. That Spirit of God makes us, made Christ alive, and is also to make us alive as well. We've seen the need for quickenings because we're dead. We've seen the power, the source for quickening. It's from the very Spirit of God. And now let's look at the avenue for quickening. How is this quickening going to come from God through the Spirit to man? What is it, or how does God help transmit that? A very, very unique verse that I was reading that really kind of tied this together for me. I want you to go to the Gospel of John. Because the avenue for quickening is none other than the Word of God. It's the Word of God. You know, the Spirit makes us alive, but He does it through God's Word. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is living. It is from the Son of God. And we got to tie that in. Go to John chapter 6 as we finish up here. Go to John chapter 6. This, of course, is when Christ was feeding the multitudes. And after that, He had a sermon that He preached. And a lot of people got upset at what He was speaking on. But look at verse number 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now, we've just heard about that in our last, the power. It's the Spirit that does that. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, if the Spirit quickens, now notice what the Lord ties the Spirit quickening right into in the middle of that verse. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Where is this? Where does this Spirit to quicken, to make us alive? How do we know about that Spirit? How do we know about the power of Christ? How are we able to know about the resurrection and for our lives to be made alive? It is through the Word of God. Boy, I challenge you. I put it on the screen there. We don't have time to look at all these verses. But Psalm 119, the word quicken or quickeneth or quickens is mentioned many, many times in Psalm 119. And in about five or six of those instances, the psalmist says, quicken me by thy word. The Word of God. Do you want to know life? Get in God's Word, because God's Word will convict you. The Holy Spirit working in God's Word to drive the Word into our heart, to help us to turn to Christ, to be made alive. It's the Spirit with the Word of God working in our hearts to make us alive in Christ. And we are privileged today to have a copy of God's Word. We're privileged to be able to read it. We're privileged to be able to know the leading of God's Spirit, the illumination of the Spirit of God into our minds as we read and study the Scripture. And I pray that we would follow that as well. There's a need for quickening. There's a power for quickening. There's an avenue for quickening as well, and it's the Spirit of God. Let's close with one final verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Our last verse tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. This is also an incredible verse in the Scriptures. This kind of takes everything that we've talked about and the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and what we have because of the resurrections. It's not just, again, sometimes we think of the resurrection of Christ and we kind of think of it separated from us, as our pastor spent time this morning very, very clearly showing us why we need the resurrection and the basis of many things that we have in our spiritual lives and in the church because of the resurrection. But look at chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We've been born again. We've been made alive again. We were made alive when we were born physically. But what about a new birth? What about a birth that takes us out of the death of sin and puts us in the life of Christ? We've been born again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Why do I have hope tonight? Because I know Christ resurrected from the dead. The same Spirit that raised up Christ dwells in me, dwells in you, dwells in those that know our Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And because of that, we have a hope. I tell you, there's a lot of despair in our world right now. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of panic, and there's a lot of talk and theories and all this stuff. But I tell you one thing we don't have to be afraid about. We know the Lord, and we have hope in Him. We have hope in Christ. You know, think about it. What's the worst that could happen with this situation we've got right now? What's the worst that could happen? Our Lord could end things. We could, okay, if someone, you know, gets very, very sick, and I've told people before, somebody, well, if you get sick, I'm like, you know what? Then if I get sick and die, that's just wonderful because I'm going to be with Christ. I'm not trying to be all gloomy and doomy or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you, we need to get our hope up. We need to get it upward. That we have Christ and we live through Him. And I was talking to a friend the other day. We're not even going to die. We're already alive. We already have eternal life. It's in us right now. We're alive. And we're just going to go straight from the death of the mortal body right into the eternal life that we already have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, that's hopeful. That encourages my heart, and I hope it encourages yours as well. We thank the Lord for His resurrection, the quickening that we can know in our lives as well, to be made alive. And I pray that we'll meditate on that this week, and it'll be a blessing to our lives and our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the time we've had around Your Word tonight. We thank You so much for the ability to sing these songs that reminded us of our Savior. Lord, the requests that were mentioned, there's many, many that are in need. Lord, encourage their hearts tonight. Comfort them with the fact that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, deliver them, if it be Your will, from the things that they're suffering and going through. And Father, help us to live this week with hope. Hope in our Savior, Jesus Christ, that He was made alive, He was raised by the Father through the Holy Spirit, and that we have that same blessing. Lord, that's hard for us to comprehend. We also can be resurrected to have eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live in that hope. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.